This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Boom. There he is. And by the way, you get Manny twice tonight, today and tonight, because tonight at 7 o'clock is the debut of the State of Florida Gridiron Roundtable. Manny Navarro, Ira Schofield from War Chant, and Kevin Brockway from GainesvilleSun.com. We've got a Gators, a Seminoles, and a Canes beat writer for one hardcore hour. And then my man Mike McCoy takes over. Our guy Mike McCoy, because he's a friend of mine. And he will do, of course, the Miami Hurricanes watch from 8 to 9 p.m. So for 2 hours, you get hardcore college football talk tonight. There you go. How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Doing good, man. Back home. Interested to see what's going to happen with this offense going forward with some shortage at receiver. And do they get it right? Do they get back on track?
Well, listen, talk to Ruiz. And I'm all for, you know, we'll buy some masks, you know, we'll go in the middle of the night and we'll just go kidnap Aronde Gadsden's son.
Bring him home.
And just bring him over here, bro. That's all we got to do. And, you know, solve that issue right there. Overall, it was, there was a lot of things to like in the performance on the offensive side. They put up some numbers, put up some stats. I just can't let it go on that 3rd and 6. I just can't let the – you know, when I'm watching Mike McDaniel on Sundays and on 4th and 7, he's going for it. And he'll go for things all the time. I mean, the guy's just aggressive. And I just feel that in today's football, you have to be aggressive. And I just don't feel that conservative play – I think it will stop you. And I get it. If your team is super dominant – then you can play that game. But when your offense is kind of shady and you don't know if you're going to get back into the red zone, because they did a good job of moving the ball, I guess, between the 20s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? but you know, I just – that still is stuck in my craw, that 3rd and 6. Hell, I would have passed the ball on 4th and 4. I was not going to settle for a field goal. I was going to walk away from 7 because I know I'm losing this game if I keep settling for Sperano-like field goals.
Well, here would be my response to you. McDaniel has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I don't know who Tyler Van Dyke has to work with in those situations. I think that's the biggest issue. And I think part of the reason the game was called that way is because they know there's limitations that they have in the passing game. Now, they still threw the ball 41 times. They still dropped back 41 times. And they did try to score. I mean, there were plays. There was a strategy to it. Josh Gattis said, you know, they're dropping 8 guys in the coverage on some of these third down situations. We got to be able to counter and run the ball up the gut. And there were some situations where, you know, some guys slipped. Blocks were missed. And so the opportunity, I think, was there to score a couple times, obviously, with the running game. But it failed when it mattered in that tight little space. And so that's something they're going to have to figure out. I personally think what we learned on Saturday is that this team has a ceiling, and that ceiling is the fact that they don't have elite receivers. And that what that means is they're not going to be able to beat elite teams, because you can't win. You're not going to be able to beat really talented teams not being able to throw the football. Now, can you beat other teams in the ACC and win the division playing this style? Yes. And I think leaving that stadium, that's what I felt. I felt like, man, unless somebody really surprises us and comes out of nowhere in this receiver group, this is the way that they're going to have to play a lot of games, where it's going to be in the fourth quarter. You're going to need defense to make plays. You're going to need field goal teams to death when you can't score in the red zone. And hopefully, if they can stay consistent, run the ball the way that they did Saturday, where was it 175 yards, close to 5 yards a carry, that carries you past the majority of the teams in the ACC.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I mean, you know, if this is going to be enough to get you through what you have in the ACC, okay, I get it. It's just what I don't want to see, and this is where, for me, this is like strike one. Right. I want to see where you're at again in those situations a couple more times. And do you choose to be conservative again and again? And right. then I'm going to know that this is the habitual thing, because I kind of feel that's what happened at Oregon at times, you know, and yeah. I saw that with his offense, even with Justin Herbert. And we've talked about this before, the Herbert at Oregon and the Herbert with the Chargers is two different dudes. Now, yeah. then again, like I've mentioned before to you, maybe he knew he was a yellow belly and that's why he didn't want to, you know, air it out too much, because, you know, some of the things that have happened with the Chargers already with all those fourth quarter picks. So I don't know. I have no idea, but I just think in this league, you've got to have a little bit of an edge.
I think philosophically, not to cut you off, but I think philosophically, you think about when Mario was at Alabama with Saban. It was before they kind of opened the offense up with Tua and started flinging the ball over the place. I think philosophically, this is just who he wants to be. He's an offensive line guy. He wants to run the ball, and he wants to play possession. That's his mantra. Now, is that always going to be the case? I mean, look, they scored 70 points against Bethune-Cookman in the opener. They were flinging the ball around. It wasn't like they weren't throwing it. I just think his first inclination is going to be to run the ball and not play a fast-paced. That's his style. And, you know, he got the right coordinator for that, because that's what Josh Gattis basically did at Michigan. They didn't play any hurry up. And so for people, what I found hysterical is, you know, people complaining, well, we got to play this hurry up style. Yeah, you did that under Rhett Lashley, and you went 7-5 last year. How great was that hurry up offense if you don't have the stars on the outside to consistently beat teams? If you don't have the players to light up other teams, why are you going to run an offense that gets off the field quickly?
Yeah, no, they can't play that here. Are you crazy? You need elite receivers for that kind of stuff. They don't have that right now. They don't even have one, actually. Right. Not even when Restrepo's in there do they have an elite receiver. He's just a tough SOB, that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's just an overachiever. And so what do they do at wide receiver? I don't even know if you can say fix it or get it better. Or what? What do you do? Are there any options that they haven't tried yet?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's guys on this roster that you could always move over to receiver. I mean, obviously, we'll see how long Jacoby George is going to be out with the broken thumb. He was obviously one of the better standouts on Saturday when you did throw the ball and catch it.
Didn't he just get back?
He just came back from suspension. Yeah, yeah. I think you can move Malik Curtis, who's one of your they were talking about him in camp, one of the fastest cornerbacks. He was an offensive, he played both sides of the ball in high school, super fast. I've had a lot of people tell me he'd be an elite receiver here. Maybe that's something you try this week for depth purposes. You're doing fine in the secondary right now. You've got enough depth to move other guys around there. You could pluck him over. You could certainly move Jahleel Skinner, who's one of your tight ends, put him out a little bit wide, let him play the receiver position as well. He's big and tall and rangy. And then to me, you know, a kid like Colby Young, who you got out of the JUCO system last year out of Lackawanna, you know, he's a jump ball guy. We've yet to see him really be used around the end zone. You know, 6'4", big body, big range. Those are kind of the immediate things I think you could do to supplement the losses and to maybe change things up. You know, more of those jump balls around the end zone, because you're not going to create the separation you need. So what do in those situations? You run off play action and you throw a jump ball to the end zone to somebody who can go up and get it. So I think those are sort of the immediate sort of, you know, things you can do. But will it be successful? Oh, I don't know. I mean, in the end, they need guys to step up. I mean, we heard all about Romello Brinson. We heard all about Jacoby George. We heard all about Breshard Smith, the three amigos, right? The kids in the last class. This is your opportunity. This is your time now. I know George is hurt, but the other two guys, Shard Smith had a chance to make a catch on fourth down and keep the chains moving, and he dropped it. So I don't think it's a lack of talent. I think it's a lack of confidence in what they can do, and can they hold on to the football? Frank Latson was an elite high school recruit, showed flashes at Clemson. Miami goes and gets him the transfer portal. What's he done since he's been here?
Nothing.
So sometimes, you know, there's only so much coaching can do to get you there. It's on the kids at a certain point to deliver. And I don't think Miami's devoid of talent at that position. I just think right now they're having trouble getting Tyler Van Dyke on the same page with these guys. And it's a shame, because they obviously spent all offseason throwing. It's not like they didn't put in the work. sometimes you just have limitations.
Yeah, no, and there seems to be a lot of limitations right now. So are we expecting the running backs and the tight ends to become a bigger part of the passing game?
Yeah, I think they have to. You know, they obviously did that some on Saturday with Will Mallory. You saw Elijah Royo. He had that 29-yard catch kind of out of the H-back role. That's primarily what he plays in. You know, they went to him another time near the end zone, and the ball, you know, the Texas A&M defensive back made a great play and knocked the ball down. So those guys obviously can catch the ball and be effective. I mentioned Jaleel Skinner. He's, you know, a lot of great ball skills, the true freshman tight end. And then Jalen Knighton, you know, I think he's got the better hands than Henry Parrish. I think you probably start designing more pass plays to him out of the backfield. Get him involved on sort of quick, you know, just get the ball in his hands in space, because that's really where he's special. You think back to that FSU game last year. You know, he really showed what he could do in space. So I think that's some of the immediate changes. And again, this is why, I mean, I think, you know, we always sort of overreact to stuff, right? Hey, this was 9 points. My God, look at how bad the offense is. They can't move. No, they did move the ball. I would be much more upset.
Oh, they got and some worried. Yards.
I'd be worried if the offense looked like Texas A&M's offense, which didn't move the ball and didn't have a quarterback who could really get the ball to the receivers. Tyler Van Dyke can do that. Those guys got to catch it. They got to catch it. They got to make the plays. I mean, you can't have 6 or 7 drops. You can't have 6 or 7 balls where the coaching staff feels should have been caught. That changes his entire night. He goes from throwing for whatever it was, 21 of 41, to 26 or 27 of 41 with 250 yards and probably a touchdown. And then now you're saying, man, are you asking for Jake Garcia then? You know,
that's just silly. Come on. We're getting back to the Tua argument from last year. Like, when you have no help, you have no help, dude. You just can't do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? And the kid just doesn't have enough help right now. And that's why he doesn't look like he looked last year when he had two receivers that could catch balls at least and make plays. And I am looking at the stats. Mallory did have 6 catches, and Redding had 3 catches, and Smith had 3 catches, but they got some of the other guys involved. Arroyo had the 1 catch you're talking about, but Knighton had 1 catch. Yeah, they're going to have to find a way to get the running backs probably involved more in the passing game out in the flats. I mean, this week is not much of a test because it's Middle Tennessee State. They should be fine, but this is a good game to experiment, like what you were talking about, if you're going to move a DB or if you're going to try to start using running backs or tight ends more.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Malik Curtis. He is a 9 threat. You know, you line him up, you let him run the 9 route all day, stretch the defense. He's that kind of guy. You throw some bubble screens at him and let him just eat guys up with his speed. I would love to see that this weekend. The problem is he's been playing cornerback up until this point. So do you switch it all up on him and just teach him 2 routes, you know, and just say, hey, these are the 2 things we want you to do, and very, very, very simple. Maybe that's the way that they handle it. But Skinner and some of the other young guys that they have here, Isaiah Horton, the true freshman that they got, who I think has high potential. I think you certainly start developing them and working with them extra, or doing whatever you have to do to prepare them for coming and playing in a pinch, because if something were to happen this weekend to Keyshawn Smith or some of the guys that you do have out there, then you'd really be in trouble, because then you're relying on guys that don't know what they're doing. So to me, I think there has to be more of an emphasis in the weeks ahead here, including the bye week coming up, that that you get those guys ready to play in the event that they have to.
All right. Manny, what could be the problems with Middle Tennessee State? Because I would figure that they should be able to handle them, but you might know something that we don't know about Middle Tennessee State.
Well, they run the air raid. They're a, you know, 4 wide set, don't really run the ball very often. And they're an older team. You know, they're one of these older group of 5 schools that have guys who have been playing football forever. So they're not going to come in here scared. You know, they've played other Power 5 teams, and their coach, Rick Stockstill, I think, has been there 16 years. So he's got a system in place. He's had success. Middle Tennessee's been to a bunch of bowl games and won conferences and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, you're not going to get just some run-of-the-mill group of five that doesn't have their crap together. They have their stuff together. They have their system. So I think, you know, what you're going to see is Miami secondary get tested a little bit, you know, with the air raid. Do those guys come out and play the way that they did last week against Texas A&M, where you were saying, man, that was a pretty good showing by the secondary. Cause we go back to the first two games, right? And we can pick apart some moments where we said, man, that was some bad coverage down the field. They gave up some big plays. Middle Tennessee is going to get rid of the ball quickly. They've given up seven sacks this year, but the reality is that their whole attack in the air raid is quick release, get the ball out to the receivers in space. So this is the week where, if you're Miami's defense, assignment football, the way that they've pretty much played so far, you know, they've had three games this year where they've had 10 missed tackles or less, eight against Texas A&M, five against Southern Miss, 10 against Bethune-Cookman in the opener. Last year, the entire season, they only had three games where they had 10 missed tackles or less, Miami did. So they're certainly playing a lot better under Kevin Steele and in his system. They're not giving up as much chunk plays. They're not missing guys as often. So just do your assignment on defense, and I think they win this game comfortably, and you get a chance to have Tyler Van Dyke work on the chemistry with the receivers.
Let's hope so. All right, so what do you got going on this week in the Athletics so folks can check you out?
Well, I just, you know, I did a whole breakdown on what happened with the red zone and the offense on Saturday, you know, in terms of the receivers. And so if you want to read more into that, I've got a whole article on that. You know, True Freshman Report will be coming out soon. I'm working on that as well. ACC Mailbag, another Kane story later in the week, and then the game on Saturday. So there's, and I just put up a new podcast, the Wide Right Pod, from last night that was put up this morning. So, so there you go. That's available at For the Athletic, as well as all the excellent coverage by everybody on our staff.
All right. And you'll see him tonight, 7:00, State of Florida Gridiron Roundtable. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Good talking to you. Take care, buddy.
You got it. There you go. And don't forget Canes, where they got anything and everything with the Canes logo. They got all kinds of shirts, hats, jerseys, you name it, all kinds of memorabilia. All kinds of different lights and everything. You want something for your bar, you need a pair of sandals. And they've got Miami Dolphins gear, Miami Heat gear, Florida Panthers gear, Miami Marlins, and Inter Miami. So they've got all the other teams locally here in South Florida. Go to Canesware, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Tell them that Big O sent you. They will take care of you. I promise you there. At Canes_wear on Twitter.